everybody. It's a wonderful new show here at Music Addict, a wonderful podcast. Of course, to myself, Tom McDonough, and my co-host,
Mark Taylor.
And of course, Mark can, you know, we can flip this around. I should make him do this one so his name goes first.
I'm not funny like that, Tom. It's okay.
So this week, our guest is Joe Hoekstra, who is the Whitesnakes guitarist, plays for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and he's played with, I can give you Cher, Night Ranger, a few other, quite a few. The list is so long, it's immense, and he's extremely talented. I've had the pleasure of at least interviewing him a couple of times. The guy is great. Very, as you guys will notice, he's very modest, but he's an incredibly good guitarist.
Prolific is not wasted on him. I know that term is thrown around a lot. Oh, he's prolific, but really, this guy is gifted, and he plays in so many genres. You know, there's a lot of people that are really good rock guitarists, but I don't know how they do in Trans-Siberian. You know, this guy, cross-genre, you wouldn't know which was his main genre.
No, and he is. He's just talented across the board. He understands music. I've always been impressed by him. I wish I could play as good as he could play, just a 10% of what he can play, and I'd still be great. So
on any instrument,
So I definitely look up to him in the musical aspect. When we were picking some guests in the beginning, when we decided to put this podcast together, I and Mark were thinking of people, you know, we could bring in the industry that were experts of what they do. And he has definitely got that in the musician end of it, where Robert Ibach had it. Ibach. I keep doing that to him all the time. And I've known him for how many years? About the fact that, you know, they all have different specialties. Robert has in the production wise, and we should bring in some more. And you're going to see some up and coming artists as well, because him and both Mark and myself believe that up and coming artists deserve a shot. Being heard. I mean, I have collected tons of music on my playlist from doing interviews with up and coming artists, because I get to hear the music. So it's amazing how much my playlist is probably half up and coming artists.
You know, it's funny, with so much music being available, it is so much harder to find it because there's no real curators. You really have to search for it. And if you don't know where to search, it's hard to find new music. So I'm glad that we can help introduce some people and hopefully draw more crowds to what they do, because there's so much talent out there.
And also, I promise that we'll have some speaking of crossovers, we're going to bring some Hollywood people from Hollywood who actually do music in time. Nice. Show. So we're going to spread it out and go across, and then we're going to find some songwriters and some more producers.
And, some engineers. We got to get more engineers.
Touring. We're going to try to get some the different stuff, so it's not all just, you know, one thing each week. That way everyone gets a different part of the industry, learns from the industry, learns, you know, how people do things, and who knows, maybe you'll follow them on social media.
Absolutely.
It's all about the networking part aspect, especially in social media. And if we were just discussing, you know, there's so much going on. AI was what we were discussing off
camera. It's going to put us all out of work, Tom.
Yeah, it's going to put. Yeah, soon our podcast will be all AI.
It won't be us. It'll just be, you know, AI people doing
AI this. People talking about this stuff, who are going to be able to do it much faster than we can by pumping them out faster than we can, and they could do a whole.
And they'll be better looking, Tom. They'll be better looking.
Better looking, yes. You're right, because that we did discover, it's a true fact, that the top number one rated model in Spain, if not in Europe, is an AI bot.
That's awesome.
That's just awesome. Amazing.
It's scary, but it's talk about an unattainable goal.
Exactly.
I mean, you used to have to worry about photos being airbrushed, and you know, now it's complete fabrication. The person doesn't even exist.
And I'm hoping they don't take over my favorite genre, which everyone probably that knows me knows is rock and roll. I mean, obviously with my big idol and being Elvis Presley, you know, going back to the 50s in rock and then going forward until today, rock has kind of slowly gone away. There's
Yeah, I
maybe
miss it.
things that went on with it. Radio, and which I don't know if you've watched that video that we were sharing amongst ourselves today.
Oh, absolutely. Outstanding.
It's amazing how the radio being consolidated did take and change music in from 1996 till today. And
Yeah, we should put a link to that in this because that's a great video.
yes, and exactly what I'll do. I'll put that on social media because you should watch it. It was very informative. We've been, absorbing lots and lots of information in the last couple weeks, but I think it's a big part of this industry and growing in this industry and how it changes all the time and staying up on top of things. So,
Well, man, if not for country, you would never see bands anymore.
no.
It used to be I love the rock because you got to see musicians. Now, if not for country, where would you see them?
Exactly. You wouldn't.
I mean,
Yeah.
okay, jazz, but
Jazz. Yeah.
jazz is always at that small niche
Niche, but
but.
it's you think of jazz bars. Every time you think of jazz, you think of jazz bars. And those are an amazing place to go, not massive drink, but sit there and sip your drink and enjoy the show.
Right.
One of my favorite things to do, I do it in cruise ships. I'll do it in anywhere that I can find a jazz club. I'll end up going into one because there's, I think they're swanky and they're kind of a cool type nightclub type setting.
I go to them whenever, especially if I'm in another city. I just love to hear the musicianship, man. Like if I'm in New Orleans, if I do nothing else, I go hear some live music, some jazz or some, same thing. But I like to hear the local flair. But besides country and jazz, you don't see live bands in pop music. You don't see it
No.
in hip hop. You don't see it in R&B. You don't see it any, well, okay, maybe punk, but that's again, that's a
It's a niche,
small,
small
yeah,
niche.
but it used to be all the rock bands, Zeppelin, AC/DC, Metallica. I mean, though you got to see me, and if you were a musician, it gave you something to aim for.
Yeah.
Now it's all samples. And I'm not hating on the samples. Don't hit me in the comments. I'm not hating on the samples, but there's something to when you go to hear the live music, when you know that it's being created in front of you, it's just a different feeling.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think rock, I want to, and if I, and because Joel's coming in, I'm going to say this, and I've said this a couple of times publicly, but I'll say it again. Rock needs to come back. However, in
Oh,
the
it
direction
does.
it does, it needs to come back. And I hope I can be a process, part of that process, because I'd love to see rock come back. It is.
Absolutely. And I don't care. It could be the big hair rock. It can be 60s rock. It can be 90. I don't care, but it needs to come back.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And but hopefully we'll see something structured in that way in the next 5 to 10 years, but who knows? Other than that, I've always enjoyed guitar playing, even though I can't play all that great. It's not my number one instrument that I can play. But I can play a fair. I can play, obviously most everybody who knows I play guitar can play bass. But lead guitar, not, I wouldn't be the first person I'd pick for it.
Right, man. You're like me. If the guitar player doesn't show, as long as you're shouting out changes, we can keep up.
Yeah.
But
But
I'm
the
gonna
drummer is
pass on
still
the
the number one
solo.
most important spot in the band.
Yeah, man. As long as your drummer can stay in the pocket. I went and heard some live music not too long ago, and the drummer could not stay in pocket. I felt bad for the musicians.
Ugh.
They were young, so at least they're trying. But he was not. He had all the fancy stuff, but he couldn't stay in the pocket.
It does make him. I don't care how much fancy stuff he can do. If he can't stay in the pocket,
You
he's
can't stay in the pocket.
over.
You're not a, well, for me, you're not a drummer if you can't stay in the pocket.
No, for me, it's the same thing. It's the part of the music part. Before we go to the interview, this hopefully will be my last, the last interview that I have individually on my own with it, because going forward, all of them will have Mark in it. It was the timing and place that those three were just did not have that opportunity at that given time to have us both. But going forward, I know 100% every one of them will be marked with me because,
He didn't like me.
yeah. So, but I wanted to say that we want to promote number one, our newsletter. If you're a musician, some or producer, anybody in the music industry, Read our newsletter. It's free. It is about empowering people to take hold of their careers in the music industry. And let alone also, we do spotlight one artist every single month. And it give an up and coming artist a chance to be, you know, have the spotlight, as well as major artists that we do have reviews on, and other articles that we have in the industry. I think it's an important piece for all musicians. So I definitely, to, you know, implore everybody to definitely sign up for it. It's free at musicaddict.org.
Absolutely. It really is. It's and not just because we do it, but it really is. The goal of it is to try to help people get reliable information. It's so easy to get weird information. We're trying to help people get reliable information. All the sources are vetted. Everyone that we're dealing with is a pro in the industry. So please check it out. Musicaddict.org.
Musicaddict.org. That you also can, pick up some of our consulting services, and of course our wonderful t-shirts. And other than that, I would just like to say, enjoy our interview.
Enjoy the interview.
Hey, everyone. I'm, of course, your host, Tom McDonough. My guest this week is Joel Hoekstra. And I always like to mess that up, Joel. I did that last time we did an interview back when I did This Moment in Time with Dave Bickler. I did that. I almost did that. So you're currently still playing with Whitesnake, played for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, or of course, Revolution Saints. And of course, you played with many bands over the years. Night Ranger, you played, I know, Joe Scherer, several other things. And of course, your own personal project, your own band, Joe Hoekstra 13, which I love, by the way. Can't go wrong with 13 as a number. I've always enjoyed that as a prime number. So tell me, you started pretty much learning guitar at 13. Out of all the people who influenced you in music, who was the number one person or artist that inspired your music and your journey in through where you are today?
I mean, that'd be really hard to define like one person. Angus Young was the inspiration to start from AC/DC. But yeah, I had really good guitar teachers when I was young and friends that played. TJ Helmrich had a big influence on me because he was one of my early guitar teachers. And then we stayed friends kind of, through me going out to LA and jammed together a lot out there. When I was 19 through 21, and he helped me out engineering like my first few instrumental albums that I put out. He was a big influence and help. And then his friend who became my friend, Brett Garsid, was a big influence on me. and then a lot of it is like the people that you work with through the years too, Brad Gillis, just, our friendship and like learning a lot about professionalism and playing in the scene with him. So a lot of people have had big influences on me in terms of, I guess, how I approach things. And yeah, so there you go. And my, you'd have to throw my parents in there, cause they were classical musicians. And so having that from all the time, all the way since birth, having like a musical models around the house, people that were really good musicians, that helps too.
Since coming from a musician background, now obviously into being a record label exec, I've always asked this of everyone because of the music end of it. Favorite venue, do you have one you ever love playing at? I know you've toured the world. You've been around, been seeing several. Have you actually found one that you actually look forward to playing at?
I can't really say that I have. I mean, I guess if I were to cite one that was kind of cool for me to date, would probably be the United Center in Chicago, just because I grew up there and I'm a big Bulls fan,
Yeah.
Anybody that grew up in Chicago in that era, that whole 90s Bulls, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, that was cool because they knew I was a big fan and let me go in the Bulls locker room and everything like that. And so, that was fun. So, but I can't say in general, like being on that stage in itself meant anything more than any of the other stages. It was just, being able to go in the Bulls locker room and all that. knowing that I grew up
there. Pretty cool. Can't go wrong there. Yeah. Your upcoming music projects. We were just talking off air about Revolution Saints. What is it that you got coming up with that? What is the next step there?
Well, Eagle Flight, that album came out in April, and that's been interesting to step in and try and become like Mark II of that band, so to speak, with Jeff Pilson and of course Dean Castronovo, that the project is centered around. So that's exciting, just from an aspect of working with those two guys. They're both really talented, and we've recorded the follow up album. And I don't have a release date on that, but I've recorded that already. So that's what's going on there. That'll be out. And, there's been some talk of trying to play live, and we'll see, if that comes to fruition or not. But that would be super exciting to get out there with those guys.
Yeah, great bunch they're actually put together there. And that album from April was phenomenal. It definitely hits heart and soul of what you've done in your career. I actually kind of was, when I heard that you were going to do that and go that direction, I wasn't sure. You always look to see what happens with new bands that come together, but that came together very well. Project sounds great. I think it's going to be a very longevity involved with that, in my opinion, but.
Yeah. I think that's definitely centered around that melodic rock journey kind of style. And I think Jeff and I kind of coming from where we come from with, Dokken for Jeff and Whitesnake for myself, there's maybe a little bit of a 80s hard rock edge happening in there with us just playing the parts the way we do, or the solos, etc. So it's got a cool sound to it. I really like Eagle Flight. I thought every song on it was strong, and Dean is just an amazing vocalist. He's so underrated because he's an amazing drummer. And he sings a bit, obviously, lead with Journey, but he's never really been given the proper, stage to say you're the lead vocalist. And, outside of this Revolution Saints thing, and his singing is just amazing.
Yeah, I agree. It's like he should have been doing it his whole career forever. And from now, the way he has,
it's just kind of that feeling of it's unfair when you hear him sing. You go, man, that's not fair. Like, you're that good on drums and you sing like that. Come on.
Yeah, I know. The last time how many drummers, is not as many drummers have been lead vocals over the years. There's been a few, but they've all been iconic.
No, at this moment in time, I think you could safely say he's the best singing drummer in the world. I can't really think of anybody that I would rank above him. So that's it's pretty cool to be a part of that. I think a lot, he's really a great drummer too. I really like his drumming, but his singing is just like, wow. And I felt like on this record, he really came into his own. He's obviously very Perry influenced, but I felt like he really had his own identity carved out on Eagle Flight, and said, you can definitely tell a difference between, when he's covering a Journey song and when he's actually singing like himself on the Revolution Saints stuff to me.
Very cool. Your solo projects, what have you liked? What have you done in your solo projects do you feel that you've not done, or that you've done differently than what you've done in with let's say something like Whitesnake and of course with Revolutionary Saints? What is it that you think that your solo project has brought to you as an artist?
With Joel Hoekstra's 13, the idea is that's the opportunity where I do all the writing. So I write all the lyrics and the vocal melodies and all the riffs, everything. So the songs are like 100% written by me, and I kind of get to be the person who has the say so in the mix. I don't mix it myself. I have Chris Collier mix it, but Chris works with me on like what I want to hear, and the person to kind of sign off on the artwork as well. Same deal there with Christiane Gilbrook, who did a really cool cover, I thought, on this, and cool artwork on it. So I get to be the person to sign off on all that. And so it's has more to do with like the level of contribution and the more that it's actually yours. Where bands are a little bit more of a democracy. This is like my opportunity to be the dictator.
Nothing wrong with that. It's always good. And I loved your solo stuff that's come out. You know, it shows a lot of heart and soul in there. Again, you phenomenal guitar playing. I can't name, you know, that many people in the same hand that you can beat you in guitar playing today, right now, which is phenomenal. I put you in the top three for sure, 100%. And it says a lot about you and how you've always gone about your artistry of playing guitar. I've always enjoyed it. I'm sure many other people have out there. You know, your name comes up instantaneously when people mention guitarists and talk about it in the industry.
I mean, I think, you know, the thing I'm most proud of with that is that I've been able to enter the conversation through just kind of hard work and perseverance, rather than somebody who had a successful album back in the 80s. So most of the people that are in that conversation are people that had at some point some kind of album that blew up and sold a million copies or a couple million copies. I'm like the one guy that seems to like be in that conversation that hasn't had that. So I'm proud of that, just off of like earning that, I guess, through hard work to be in the conversations that, you know, cool enough for me. No disrespect to anybody who did sell the albums in the 80s. That's great. I just did, my timeline worked out as such that I like came to the age where I graduated out of guitar school right when Smells Like Teen Spirit came out and everything just went away. You know, that was cool. It led me on a very cool path of like learning to do all kinds of different things on guitar and being a versatile musician. That was always my top goal, to just be a pro musician more than be a quote unquote rock star or anything like that. So anything that I get regarding success, career success for me is like frosting on the cake, or sometimes playing with house money, I'll call it, because, you know, I come from the suburbs of Chicago where you're not really supposed to like do this kind of stuff. It's not really supposed to be attainable. So not like I grew up with a dad who sold 5 million albums himself or something like that and was saying, don't worry, I'll get everything done for you, you know? So it's been a process of doing all kinds of things to get to the point where I've gotten. And so, you know, I definitely am proud of like the amount of work that I put in to do it.
Yeah. And what I always tell my interns, because I have a bunch of them every semester I teach the industry to, I always tell them there's two different things: being a great artist or being famous. It's two different jobs. And I would definitely say that you have attained fame with just being a tremendous, you know, good artist. And that's, again, like you said, it's a rarity to be in some of those conversations and not selling millions of records and get caught catching it off that fame. But again, you've really done well in your career with that, and I don't see you stopping anytime soon. You've definitely
there, especially nowadays. There's a big difference, I think, between being somebody who's a good musician or has a good career. Like, they, one doesn't really guarantee the other. Especially nowadays, because it's so focused on the digital world. Like, people are looking for like sensationalistic clips to post on YouTube and Instagram and whatnot of them playing. And so that tends to be the focus. Like, what's going to make people's jaws drop, rather than like, say, David Gilmour. He was never thinking about that when he was coming up with the great solos for Comfortably Numb or something like that. He's just playing for the song and gets called a great guitar player because of his tasty playing, you know. And he is amazing. I love David Gilmour. Don't get me wrong. It's I'm just kind of pointing out the difference in how much music has changed and how people approach guitar these days, or think about fame. They think about, you know, the views on their reels. You see all kinds of people that have posted, like, you know, solo acoustic guitar versions of songs where they're drumming on the acoustic and looping and doing all these crazy things. And it's, you know, it's amazing that people do it. I kind of liken it to the same thing that's happened with singing, with shows like The Voice and American Idol and things like that. It's like, people have begun to think of singing as like something that they have to be sensational at. Whereas maybe some of the cool singers that we grew up listening to in bands were just cool because they had like a persona or an edge. It wasn't necessarily about their vocal range or their pyrotechnics or anything like that. They had like a cool character to their voice and maybe a, you know, cool image. And but something that was like organic and real, not like manufactured. So, I don't know, just an observation, but I, at the end of the day, I think all those things are still good because it still generates interest in playing and singing. Like, so those programs, I'm not saying that they're bad. It's still, if you're a kid and you watch American Idol or The Voice and it inspires you to sing, I still think that's a positive.
Exactly. It just makes it tougher. The industry, and you and I both know the industry is a lot different than what they what is perceived. But again, American Idol, The Voice, and America's Got Talent are TV shows. And they do a great job, and you're right. They inspire people. But ultimately, it doesn't show the end of the industry and how it goes and how hard work goes behind it. And to maintain things is tough. And like you said, everyone's looking for that sensational clip. I think back in the day, our thing was album covers, going to the record store, looking at album cover.
Yeah,
was probably the thing back then. Today, it's, you're right, everyone's looking for their 15 seconds.
I mean, absolutely, with Iron Maiden, like the, you know, not that they're a fantastic band, obviously, but like, you know, I bought the first Iron Maiden album cassette, I should call it, really, that I bought was just due to the artwork. Having Eddie on there. I hadn't even heard them, but I went, well, I'm buying that. I think it was probably Number of the Beast or maybe Peace of Mind or something. And I went like, I got to have that.
Like, yeah, I did. I bought a lot of records, a lot of cassettes based off of the album covers. The Motel, I bought that off of it. Didn't even know what it was and bought it. So, yeah, definitely, other things, you got so much going on and projects and new Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Again, many people, it is a tremendous, organization is obviously brought a lot of Christmas cheer and other things over the years. You get the pleasure of playing with them. You are going to go back at that again in November, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'll be out for the winter tour this year. So always honored and excited to be a part of Trans-Siberian. That's a tremendous pool of talent there. And obviously a very successful tour. It's always, you know, one of the top Billboard tours every year. So to be a part of something like that sort of defies the system to a degree is a lot of fun, you know. I mean, when you look at all the top tours, it's always like one of these things is not like the other. And it's always TSO when you go down all the big pop names. And then there's always Trans-Siberian Orchestras in there. And it's great to be a part of that. And, you know, outside of that, I'm working on an album for the other project with Frontiers that I'm a part of called Iconic. That's with Tommy Aldridge, my Whitesnake bandmate, and Michael Sweet, Marco Mendoza, and Nathan James. And so I've turned in the riffs to Michael for that. I think Michael's working on arranging those. This is the way we go about it with Iconic. He sort of arranges them into song form, and then they go to Nathan and Alessandro Del Vecchio, and they write the lyrics and vocal melodies. So it's more collaborative songwriting process with that. But that's underway. And as far as live stuff, I'm pretty much playing a lot of acoustic shows with my friend Brandon Gibbs this year. We have a Northeast run coming up in September, early September. And then we're actually going to Europe. Funny thing about those is this year in particular, we already toured the UK and now we're going to tour Europe. And next year we're talking about going to UK again and going to Japan. And this was something that we started for fun. Just to do between gigs with our bands, you know, we go, why don't we go do this acoustic show together? And it's funny that it's like finding such success and legs. It's so it's really cool. Amazing. Yeah, out of nowhere to be like, well, I guess we're going over to Europe with this for 2.5 weeks. It's kind of remarkable. So anyway, that's happening. And then I do some gigs with the Broadway's Rock of Ages band still. Obviously, I did that show on Broadway for 6 years in that band. We go out and we just play basically the songs from that show. And that's good fun. Those are all my good friends. And so I always have a lot of things going on. You know, I've been doing a lot of counseling at Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp when those are happening, and teach remotely as well here at home. So do virtual lessons. And so every day, that kind of goes down to that hard work thing. I always just feel like if I don't have like a solid day of work and moving forward with guitar, I kind of get unhappy. You know, I sort of need that to justify my existence or feel like I'm doing the best I can to move forward with everything. And it's all that really has been what has generated all the work that I have, or the cool gigs, if you prefer to view it that way. You know, people look at it as the cool gig, but it's this series of steps that you take to get there. And that's done through hard work. It's, I guess if you liken it to an athlete, you know, you're not going to just like first day pick up a baseball bat and walk up and be on a major league team and hit a home run. You've got to go through the process of learning all the fundamentals, playing in all the different leagues, and eventually possibly get to the major leagues and succeed. So it's, you know, that's kind of the way it's been, just step by step for me.
Yeah, well, and again, you going through that list of all the things you're doing, in my opinion, you're iconic because that alone consummates in all the things you're doing. You're spending your time across multiple levels, different areas. And again, the thing with Frontier, with iconic, with that work, with, you know, that album, for, you know, big shout out to Frontier because a great record label. That does quite a bit for their artists. I've always been impressed with them. I've always had a great relationship with them. And again, it's great to see that, you know, you've got more stuff coming out with that, you know, through Frontier. But the amount of different things you've done, and on top of it, take time to teach. On top of it, you do charities. I know you're very involved in a lot of charities. You've been involved in a lot of workshops. You take your time. And you teach a lot, not only just for, you know, not for people who could teach, but you teach because you love to teach. You can tell in the passion and what your words you say. So that, in my word, you know, all pretty much all put together makes you iconic for that reason.
Well, I don't know about all that, but I mean, I'd say that teaching was something that really helped me to get where I got, because I think getting out of guitar school and being at that age that I spoke of, the way I really did things was I taught 70 students a week and then I would just take off when I had gigs. I think to like launch right out and be like, all right, I'm just going to only survive off of the money off of gigs is like, wow, I don't know if I would have gotten to where I got. Like, I don't know if I would have been able to pay rent or do it. So teaching is something that's given me an opportunity to have the guitar in my hands. That was really through my 20s. And then when I hit the age of 30, I basically ended up kind of becoming a full-time performer for quite some time, and not teaching at all. But then COVID reared its ugly head. And I thought, well, you know what? I know how to teach. Like, I've done a lot of teaching. And obviously, I'd been dabbling in it, doing the Guitar World column and everything like that. And people can find all that stuff on YouTube. But my lessons themselves are far more comprehensive. I mean, when you teach for Guitar World, what people don't realize is you've got about 12, 16 measures of music that you can teach in one of those, because that's all that fits on a page, you know?
Yeah.
So you kind of got to go like, hey, here's a cool lick or two. And that's the lesson this time, you know, this month. And taking lessons with me, I try to really teach people like well-rounded, like kind of teach them like a lot about the guitar. Anyway, I mean, it's something that I enjoy doing as part of like the piece of the puzzle. All these different things put together kind of keep me busy with guitar and doing sessions, playing guest solos for people. I get a lot of that. And all of it helps keep me sharp. I mean, I look at it like it gives you like professional motivation to play guitar and quote unquote practice, right? Far more playing than I do practicing. Like, it's not really like, let me put on the metronome and like work on my scales so much these days. I'm always kind of preparing for the next thing. You know, and then these opportunities just kind of lead to things, you know, like that, you know, I posted recently that, you know, Michael Schenker asked me to trade with him on a song on his upcoming album. And, you know, I mean, it's to me, like, it's really cool because there's a lot of big names that are participating in that album. And like I said, for me, that being part of the conversation is like something that I'm proud of. I don't need to be like necessarily called iconic. I tend to think of myself as like the working man's guitar player. Like I'm the guy that I think younger musicians could look at and be like, if that guy can do it, like he did it through just like working hard, then that makes it realistic and attainable, you know?
Makes it attainable. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So it's, you know, not like some magical moment occurred that changed my life when I was 21. I kind of fought my way here through everything, you know? So hopefully that provides some inspiration to some younger people out there that are up and coming. That it just kind of comes down to approaching every day, like putting in some work and, or not some, but a lot of work. And then eventually things work out. I have a thing as we're doing this interview on my laptop, I have a little piece of paper out of a fortune cookie taped on there that says, if you work hard, good things will inevitably happen. So that's kind of like the, you know, I suppose like just statement that I like to constantly remind myself of. So when I'm sitting here working hard on something, I can read that and just be like, all right. And I believe that to be true. You know,
I was going to ask you I think answered it quite a bit. I was going to ask if you had one piece of advice to give it aspiring guitarists. What could they do coming into the industry? But I think pretty much that statement alone probably pretty much says that. But if you got anything else you want to give, I always ask everybody that in the interview at the very end of it. You know, if there's one piece of advice you give anyone, what would you give them?
I mean, I think to work hard, but I think it's also really important to stay open-minded and roll with things because things often work out differently than you expect. I always cite the prime examples being like Rock of Ages on Broadway for me. That's no way when I was 11 years old, like starting guitar, working on Black Sabbath songs, was I thinking someday I'm going to be on Broadway. But that ended up being something that really changed my life when that show started. And I did like, you know, over 6 years on Broadway with that. That was a big gig and really changed my life. It kind of took me from kind of struggling musician who'd just gotten into Night Ranger and having that show to couple with that really helped like propel things over that 6-7 years. And then the other one being Cher, which you mentioned earlier, you know, that was never something like someday I'm going to play with Cher. But when you work hard at everything that gets thrown your way and just kind of stay open-minded and do things, sometimes you end up doing things you never really envisioned, but that are really, really cool.
Very cool. Definitely, you know, like you said, you're hardworking, and I always loved your guitar play. So I thank you. I'm sure all your fans thank you. You know, it's been great having you on the show. And I would look forward to having you back on when the next album comes out. We'd like to talk about that. We'll break it down a little bit more, get a little more technical. And then again, thank you for being on the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much.